Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Did Joseph Smith correctly predict the American Civil War? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue our look at the book, Saints, The Standard of Truth. It's a history book that covers the years 1815 to 1846, published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 2018. And as we were mentioning yesterday, we feel this is obviously meant to replace the documentary history of the church, the 7-volume set, which goes into much more detail, in my opinion, is much better than what we have here. I hate to use the word dumbed down, but certainly the way this book is written, it's not written really for a high school, college level. It seems like it's meant for a much younger audience, but it does say some things that tends to show the church is trying to be a bit more transparent with some of the awkward aspects of LDS history.
Bill, yesterday we were talking about Section 87 in the Doctrine and Covenants, and I'm going to say that this is a very important thing for us to read right now because some of the things we were talking about yesterday, I think you can clearly see by reading this and understanding what was written in 1832, which is when Joseph Smith supposedly received this revelation on Christmas Day of 1832, that he did not really have the prophetic insight to be able to predict the Civil War, because there are many things wrong in the 8 verses of this section that did not actually take place.
Well, that's what makes me wonder about this, Eric. Since Section 87, in my opinion, clearly shows Joseph Smith to be a false prophet, not a true prophet, why did this book decide to include this in here? It doesn't include a lot of aspects of Mormon history. Why did it choose to include this? Now, I do have to admit, it doesn't spend a lot of pages on this. And as you mentioned the other day, it's only, 4 or 5 paragraphs. It begins on the bottom of page 163 and goes to a little past the middle of the page on 164. They don't spend a lot of time on it, but I would think that if a Latter-day Saint was to read this and think, wow, that really looks great, that really proves Joseph Smith's a prophet, and then they start digging into the history behind it, they're going to find this is not so exciting as they may have thought originally.
Bill, before I read Section 87 of the Doctrine and Covenants, I want to tell people that you have an article, Did Joseph Smith Correctly Predict the American Civil War? And a lot of the information we're talking about today and yesterday can be found in your article. If you go to mrm.org/Civil War, you can go there. And we actually have some newspapers that we were able to put in as PDFs. So you're able to see some of the actual newspapers. This event of the South Carolina in 1832 was being discussed all over the place. So anyway, Joseph Smith comes up with this section, and I think it's important for us to read it verse by verse.
Before we do, though, I think we should mention the headings. I find the headings to Section 87 to be quite intriguing. I happen to have a 1977 edition of the Doctrine and Covenants, and the heading reads a little bit differently than it does in the 1981 edition of the Doctrine and Covenants. Very quickly in Section 87, it says, Revelation and Prophecy on War, given through Joseph Smith the Prophet, December 25th, 1832. Wars predicted, division between the northern states and the southern states, great calamities in manifestation of the chastening hand of God. Notice no mention that this was known during this time period among other people besides Joseph Smith, that there was going to be a coming civil war. In Section 87 of the 1981 edition, it puts this in there. It says, this section was received at a time when the brethren were reflecting and reasoning upon African slavery on the American continent and the slavery of the children of men throughout the world. But if you bought a new edition of the Doctrine and Covenants, you would find that they've changed the heading still once more. now it makes reference to the fact that this knowledge of a coming civil war was kind of well known among people living in the United States at that time. So they're being a little bit more transparent with this newer edition of the Doctrine and Covenants.
Verse 1 of section 87 says, "Verily, thus saith the Lord concerning the wars that will shortly come to pass, beginning at the rebellion of South Carolina, which will eventually terminate in the death and misery of many souls."
And the American Civil War certainly did terminate in the death and misery of many souls. The casualties from the war itself numbered probably well over 600,000. Many of them didn't even die from bullets. They died from disease, but still the fact is over 600,000 casualties. That doesn't necessarily mean deaths, but it does mean casualties, which could be wounded and whatever. So yes, that part you might say is true. Well, that was probably understood that it was going to happen that way, even though many people felt the Civil War is going to be very short. That wouldn't be an unusual prediction if you're going to have the northern states fighting against the southern states, no matter how long it lasted.
Verse 2, "And the time will come that war will be poured out upon all nations beginning at this place."
That didn't happen. It did not pour out upon all nations. And if, as I mentioned yesterday, you're going to insist that that includes World War I and II, then you have to deal with that little phrase at the end of the sentence that says, "beginning at this place," meaning somehow there's a connection between World War I and II with the American Civil War, which is just ridiculous.
How many scholars do you think who are historians would say that World War I and World War II started because of the Civil War in America?
I know of none.
Verse 3, "For behold, the southern states shall be divided against the northern states, and the southern states will call on other nations, even the nation of Great Britain, as it is called, and they shall also call upon other nations in order to defend themselves against other nations, and then war shall be poured out upon all nations."
One aspect of this verse, in verse 3, where it talks about, "and the southern states will call on other nations, even the nation of Great Britain," that is true. Great Britain did supply arms and supplies to the southern states. However, they never got involved in the Civil War as a fighting force. When Abraham Lincoln came out with the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, that pretty much sealed the deal that Great Britain would never get involved in the American Civil War because they were not going to be supporting any self-described nation who was, in fact, in support of slavery. They had just gone through that. They weren't going to go through this again. And so that pretty much sealed the deal, as I said, that they would never come to their aid. What other nations came to the aid of the southern states? I don't know of any, but this gives you the impression that many nations were going to be involved in this. That just did not happen. And especially when it says war shall be poured out upon all nations, that did not happen. That's a false prediction.
Verse 4, "And it shall come to pass after many days, slaves shall rise up against their masters, who shall be marshaled and disciplined for war."
Now, in yesterday's show, we talked about some of the minor slave rebellions. Probably the more well-known, as I said, was the Nat Turner Rebellion in 1831. But that involved, what, maybe 75 slaves, I think it was, around there. And I think about 51 whites were killed. 55 people total were killed by that rebellion of those slaves. But when it says they will rise up against their masters who shall be marshaled and disciplined for war, as I also mentioned yesterday, a lot of the blacks in the South fought in the Confederacy.
Right.
Thousands of
them. Tens of thousands, actually.
Many of them fought in the Confederacy. So this certainly did not come to pass.
Verse 5, "And it shall come to pass also that the remnants who are left of the land will marshal themselves and shall become exceedingly angry and shall vex the Gentiles with a sore vexation."
Now, when it talks about the remnants who are left of the land, it doesn't say specifically. Some have said, well, is this talking about the Lamanites or the American Indians? But when you look at that, you're going to say, wait a minute, that's turned on its head. It was really the whites of the United States who were vexing the American Indians. in years to come. So that did not happen the way it's worded here either.
Verse 6, and thus with the sword and by bloodshed the inhabitants of the land shall mourn, and with famine and plague and earthquake and the thunder of heaven and the fierce and vivid lightning also shall the inhabitants of the earth be made to feel the wrath and indignation and chastening hand of an almighty God until the consumption decreed hath made a full end of all nations.
Well, there were certainly famines during the American Civil War, but these again took place mainly in the South as the result of sieges, such as Vicksburg, for instance. That was a horrible situation that Grant put upon the town of Vicksburg. Petersburg as well was under a siege, and I'm sure there was a scarcity of food during that time as well. But what about this plague and earthquake, thunder of heaven? Is this supposed to be hyperbole? Is this supposed to imply that that was to actually happen? Because I'm not aware of that.
Well, you have to understand, too, that Joseph Smith and the early Mormons very much believed the end was coming very soon. And so this would have been very natural to have made a prediction that sounds like Revelation and the end of the world. Verse 7 goes on, and it says that the cry of the saints and of the blood of the saints shall cease to come up into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath from the earth to be avenged of their enemies.
Okay, so the wording here is that the cry of the saints and of the blood of the saints shall cease to come up unto the ears of the Lord. So they're no longer complaining because God's taken all of their adversaries out of the way. We certainly don't see that happening in American history, certainly not a part of Mormon history, so we would have to say that that's not true.
And finally, verse 8, wherefore stand ye in holy places and be not moved until the day of the Lord come, for behold, it cometh quickly, saith the Lord. Amen.
Now, we know that the American Civil War took place about 29 years after this prediction found in section 87. What does the word quickly mean? I'll give it to them. That can have a number of understandings, you might say. But here's the point, folks. They include this prophecy, section 87, in this new book, Saints. But the prophecy did not take place the way Joseph Smith stated it. This does not vindicate Joseph Smith as a true prophet of God. And as I said earlier, if anything, it shows Joseph Smith to be a false prophet. And that's the problem with liars. They tend to include details. A bad liar, I should say, would include details that will be hard to defend if those details do not come to pass. A good liar is usually very vague in their lies, so there's not a lot of information they have to defend. Joseph Smith gives us some very specific things that he said were going to take place. And if you're going to tie it with the American Civil War, it just did not happen.
And the idea that war shall be poured out upon all nations, very much in the context in verse 3, it's talking about what was happening here in America would spread to the other nations. And if you're going to say World War I, which did not begin until 1914, is a result again of the Civil War, well, we don't know of any historians who would say that. It just doesn't seem to make any sense.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore.